And so this morning we'll finish out chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. And a leopard came to them, imploring him and kneeling and saying to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him, sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Amen. Please be seated. Prior to living in the Atlanta area, we lived in Greenville, South Carolina. And if you've ever been there, Greenville has a beautiful downtown, very much revitalized over the last 10 years or so. And the main street in downtown has wonderful shops, great restaurants, a nice park with a beautiful waterfall. And in every way, it is a wonderful town and a wonderful downtown. But there's one building in particular that stands out. And it stands out because it is different and distinct from every other place down there. Whereas the city is very affluent and it has signs of affluence, there is one building there downtown that houses the office of the American Leprosy Mission. And you're probably thinking what I thought when I first saw that building. Leprosy. That's something that people had a long time ago. No one today deals with leprosy. Well, I was shocked to find out how wrong I was. And I found out these statistics from the American Leprosy Mission. Every 2 minutes, someone is diagnosed with leprosy. Approximately 700 a day. In 2014, 121 countries, or 60% of the known countries in all the world, had reported cases of leprosy, including the United States. In fact, approximately 150 Americans are diagnosed with leprosy each year. And so we see leprosy is very much a problem even today. And so as we come to this passage this morning, we see Jesus healing a man from a very serious disease. And not only does he heal him, but he demonstrates his pity and compassion towards this man and his ailments. And yet, in this man's zeal for healing, he may have caused himself and others to miss out on the far greater healing that was needed. So we'll see that this morning in 2 points: the outward cleansing needed, and then the inward cleansing neglected. First, the outward cleansing needed. As we see here in chapter 1, this is the second healing of Jesus. We see Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law from a fever, and now here at the end of chapter 1, he heals this man of leprosy. And Mark obviously does not describe all of the healings of Christ. In fact, in verse 34, it says that he healed many who were sick with various diseases. In fact, if Mark was to tell of all of the healings, the entire gospel would have been filled just with the healings of Christ. But that is not Mark's purpose in writing. Rather, he only highlights a few. A quick scan of the Gospel of Mark demonstrates that there is about a dozen healings of Christ that Mark notes. And that is relatively few. And so the question must be asked as we begin, why these? Why these healings? Well, these healings demonstrate who Jesus was and what he came to do. In other words, if you are to only look at the healings or the miracles themselves, then you are missing the purpose. Yes, it's amazing that these individuals are healed and healed in a miraculous way, but we must dig deeper and see and understand more of what is going on here. And this is definitely the case with this man. This man who had leprosy. And as we see in verse 40, that this man came imploring Jesus to help him, even kneeling down in front of him. In other words, this man came desperately. And you can understand why. It's because he had leprosy. And leprosy, if you don't know, is a bacteria that attacks your nerve endings. And it destroys your body's ability to feel pain and injury. And even though we don't like pain and injury, it prevents us from greater harm. Because if you can't feel pain, people can injure themselves, often resulting in tissue loss. And that is exactly what leprosy does, is it attacks those nerve endings. So as a result, fingers and toes can be lost as a result of this horrible disease. And it is something that the Bible talks about. In fact, an entire chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus 13, talks about these various skin diseases that could be classified as leprosy. And this disease was very much visible. It caused spots and boils and rashes and sometimes disfigurements. If you had leprosy, you could not hide from it. Everyone would know. If you had leprosy, the priest of that day would declare you and pronounce you unclean. And since there was no way to treat this disease, the only way of containing it was to isolate those that had it. And so lepers were demanded to go outside the city. And there they established camps, leper camps. And most would remain in that place until their death. And so all interaction with friends and family and essentially society itself was cut off. And if any leper was to come into close proximity with someone that did not have leprosy, they were to cry out far, when that person was far away, they were to cry out and say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that those that did not have leprosy knew that you had leprosy and they could avoid you and go far away and not come into close proximity with you at all. If that wasn't enough, since you were declared ceremonially unclean, you were never to enter into the temple again. You were never to enter into the worship of God, the corporate worship of that day. In fact, most thought leprosy to be a curse from God. If you had leprosy, surely you had done something wrong, and God was punishing you for your sins. And so we see from this disease, leprosy was literally a physical, social, and spiritual death. And that's why earlier we read from Numbers chapter 12, and Aaron's prayer for Miriam is that she not be one, that God would not allow her to be as one that was dead, because that's exactly what leprosy did. And so you can see the desperation that this man came to Jesus with. In fact, he was so desperate, he seems to completely disregard the social standards of that day. He comes out of isolation, most likely coming from his leopard camp to the place where Jesus was, coming to a place where leopards should not be and were not supposed to be. And we need to ask the question, why did he come? Why was he willing to disregard all these social stigmas? He came because he heard that there was a man who had the ability to heal. And there was nothing that he wanted more than healing. To hear those wonderful words of being clean. And we can relate to this, can't we? At least on a smaller scale. All of us have dealt with various afflictions. And no matter if it's great or small, we all want healing. To have this affliction taken away. And we will go to great measures to find relief. I remember once in the middle of the night looking up remedies for a throbbing tooth pain. I wanted relief. And you believe me, the next morning I was making phone calls to the doctors who could help me. And we can all relate. And for myself, that was extremely minor. It was just a tooth. But this man had leprosy. He falls to his knees and in desperation calls out, "If you will, you can make me clean." And we must commend this man that he comes with a certain sense of faith and belief, does he not? The belief that Jesus could make him clean. In fact, he says, "You can make me clean." He knew that Jesus had the ability to do so, but it would all hinge on Jesus' willingness. And that's why he prefaces it by saying, "If you will." And that is the question. Would Jesus be willing? Would he be too busy? Would he think himself too high and too important to deal with someone of this status? Or would, even worse, would he treat him like everyone else had treated him? As a castaway, as an outcast, as rubbish, as a nobody. Even worse than that, an unclean, leprous nobody. Literally a dead man walking. Would Jesus be disgusted by this individual? Well, what we see in this passage this morning is that when Jesus comes and sees this man, and when this man falls on his knees in desperation, we don't see someone just casting him off like everyone else had since he had had leprosy. No, in fact, we find just the opposite. In fact, we see someone that is as eager to heal as this man wanted healing. Notice that it says that Jesus was moved with pity. That is more than just a feeling or an emotion. This is a character trait of our Lord. This is his kindness and his compassion demonstrated. Don't ever think that the God of heaven looks down at the travails of this world with indifference, or even worse, with some type of delight. Never think that when you go through the trials of this life that the Lord is stoic or cold-hearted, or that he does not have time for you. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, demonstrates in this passage this morning that he has pity and compassion. Remember that this is the Creator of all the heavens and all the earth, the one who made it all, the one who said it was good. Do you think that he looks on this fallen condition of this world and delights in its current state? No, of course not. Our Lord understands the groanings and struggles of this creation and of his creatures better than anyone. And whenever we think that God does not listen or that God does not care, be reminded that God had enough pity and compassion on our fallen state to send his very own Son. No, do never think of God as pitiless. Allah is pitiless. Buddha cannot see or hear, but Jesus Christ is full of mercy and compassion. The incarnation and the cross come from love and pity and compassion and mercy. We must never, ever forget that. And here too we see action that is spurred on by pity, do we not? We see and the heights of the Lord's compassion, the depths of his mercy. Because as it says here that he stretched out his hand and touched this man. You might say, well, so what? What's the big deal? It seems to be a very minor detail that Mark is making sure that we know here. But this is extremely important. Remember that this man was ceremonially unclean. He had not come in and with contact with people in years, except those that also had leprosy. This man had probably not touched or been touched by another human in years, maybe even decades. And furthermore, to touch a man that was ceremonially unclean was to make you unclean for several days. That's why Miriam had to go outside of the camp. That's why the leopards had to go outside of the camp, so that they would not infect other people and make them unclean as well. And so as Jesus touched this man, as he reaches out, no doubt many people gasped. And many people probably even tried to prevent Jesus from touching this leprous man, this man that had this disease, because he was unclean and he was not to be touched. And yet, what does our Savior do? He touches this man. And Jesus does not say, "I have pity for you," but does nothing. Jesus does not even say, "I have pity for you," and heals him from afar, which would have been sufficient for this man to be healed, would it not? Jesus even goes further. No, Jesus shows the pity. He demonstrates he has the ability to heal. And he shows the depths of his pity and compassion by touching this man. Here, Jesus personally identifies with sinners and identifies with them in their fallen condition. That is the type of Savior that we have. And notice it says, when the man asks, "If you will, you can make me clean," Jesus' response is, "I will be clean." And notice verse 42, "And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean." Yes, Jesus Christ is not pity with no power, or power with no pity. No, he is both power and pity. He is both powerful and compassionate. And those two things should never be separated from the character of God. And notice this too. Notice Jesus did not become unclean by touching this man. No, this man was made clean because of Christ's touch. The fallen conditions of this world cannot affect the Lord Jesus Christ. No, rather, he affects the fallen conditions of this world. When the light enters the world, darkness scatters. And that's exactly what took place here with this miraculous healing. This man was in need of healing, and not only does Jesus heal, but he demonstrates the depths of his love and compassion for this man in need. You must be reminded of that this morning, especially when you go through challenging and difficult times, and seek God not only for the answer for your prayers, but also know that he comes with compassion and pity to you during that time. Well, second, we see the neglected inward cleansing. As amazing as this cleansing and healing was, we cannot stop there, because that is not the point of Mark's telling of this healing. And this healing is important, and it is the first part. But we see something here that is even more important than physical healing, and that is inward healing. And notice what Jesus says after the healing. He says, it says in verse 43, "And Jesus sternly charged him, sent him away at once, and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.'" Jesus sternly warns him. This is not a casual, "Hey, if you don't mind," or "Hey, if it's okay with you." No, in fact, it says that he warned him and perhaps even rebuked him, saying that you say nothing to anyone. Now, why would Jesus say this? This is odd. This is peculiar. Notice that Jesus says the same thing to the unclean spirit in the synagogue in verse 25. And he tells the demons in verse 34 and does not allow them and permit them to speak. And we can understand that. They were unclean spirits. They were demons. Jesus in the kingdom of darkness, had nothing in common. He did not want them to be his spokesman. But why not this man? You would think that Jesus would want to make this man the poster child for his ministry. To have somebody say, come ye to this man that is clean and well and healed. Come one, come all, come see the man that did this miraculous healing, Jesus of Nazareth. That's what we would think. In the 21st century, we would have marketed this man, but not Christ. Why is that? Well, Jesus did not come on a healing mission. And that is something to note. Yes, Jesus healed. Yes, Jesus had compassion to heal, but that was not the purpose in coming. Look at what the purpose was. We read it just prior to our passage this morning in verse 38 and 39, when Jesus says, "Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for this is why I came out. This is the purpose for which I came." And it says in verse 39, "And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues." And we'll say, preaching. Jesus came to preach. And you might be saying that this morning. Preaching. Anyone can preach. I mean, look at the guy that's preaching now. If he can do it, anyone can do it. Take someone special and supernatural to heal. That's where the power is. That's where the pizzazz is. Less preaching and more power. That's what we would think. But Jesus says, no, the power is in the preaching. The power is in the preaching. It's through the preaching of the word that a greater healing and cleansing takes place than anything that we can receive in the body. Because the Spirit of God takes the preaching and the teaching of the word and makes dead hearts alive. He takes sinful and polluted hearts and makes them clean. And these miracles and healings were only to verify that his preaching was true, that it was from God. Yes, Jesus came to preach, and Jesus still preaches today through the preaching of this word. And that is confirmed to us by what happens next, because despite being sternly warned and rebuked, and Jesus saying, "See to it that you say nothing to anyone, but only go to the priest," what does this man do? He does the exact opposite, does he not? It says he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news. He disobeyed the direct commands of the Lord. He was to have a witness to one person, and that was to the priest. Instead, he went out and spoke freely to anyone that had ears. And as a result, as it says in verse 25, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was now out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. People were coming, but now they were coming for what? They were coming for the wrong reason. They were coming only to want their physical problems alleviated, and they were neglecting the far greater problem, which was their hearts. Yes, they received physical healings, but they were missing the much greater healing, the cleansing of sin. In fact, they were beginning to be too easily satisfied, only wanting their earthly problems remedied. They were being far too earthly minded. And oh, how that is so true for us, is it not? That we come to Christ asking for alleviation of things that are only physical and things of this world. That's demonstrated by our prayer life, is it not? Lord, help me with this. Oh, Lord, give me that. Oh, Lord, heal me. Oh, Lord, alleviate that. And not to dismiss any of those things, because they are important to us and they're important to the Lord as well. And that's why that is in this passage, that the Lord had pity and compassion on this man that had a physical problem. But we're not to miss that which is so much greater. We're not to come like the crowd, seeking
something but missing the other.
And that's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we weigh?' For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well." You hear what Jesus says. Why are you so worried about the physical things of this world? Things that we think about way too much. Things we put way too much thought about. Things that we worry and are anxious about way too often. And as a result, our mind is occupied on those things. And our mind is not freed to think about that which is so much greater. That which is spiritual. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying the Father knows you need those things. He's not dismissing that. But don't be so occupied on those things that you're missing that which is so much greater and so much more important. That we need to first seek his kingdom. And to seek his kingdom, we need to seek entrance into that kingdom. And that entrance into that kingdom comes from cleansing. It comes through salvation. And that's why Jesus, first and foremost, is our Savior. What we need most in life is not our physical problems taken away. What we need most in life is salvation. What we need most in life is reconciliation with a holy God. What we need is the cleansing of our hearts, the cleansing of sin. Because your sin is more awful and more heinous than any disease of this world. Even more so than leprosy. And that's where we have more in common with this man than what we would think. Because the law of God condemns us. The law of God rightly declares you this morning unclean. And when you come into the presence of a holy God, your response must be unclean. Unclean. Unclean God, do not come near. I cannot bear the holiness of your presence. And your sin exiles you from God. Much more so than just outside of the camp. No, your sin exiles you into utter darkness for all eternity. And outside Jesus Christ, you are a dead man walking, slowly experiencing social and physical and spiritual death. And there is no earthly remedy. There is no amount of money. There is no amount of possessions. There is no help that doctors or counselors or psychologists could help you with. And that's why we need to come to the only one that can, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to come with that same holy desperation that this man comes, falling on our knees and saying, "Oh Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And what we see this morning is a Savior that is full of compassion and mercy and grace, that pities our pathetic and helpless state. And not only does he have pity, but he has power. And when he says, "If you are willing," he says to you this morning, "I am willing." And when he say to him, "You can make me clean," he says to you this morning, "Be clean." And Jesus not only just reaches down, but the Son of God came down and took upon flesh so that he could identify with us as sinners to heal and to cleanse. And he did so by willingly laying down his life and being raised up again. And no, sin did not affect him. Rather, he affected sin by taking the punishment and the stain away for all eternity. And that's why we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 1, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Beloved, it's in this hope that we stand. It's in this salvation that we are cleansed. And this morning, we can say through Christ that we were sick, but now we've been healed. That we were dying, but now we have been made alive in Christ. I need to ask you this morning, have you been healed? Have you been cleansed? Have you been redeemed in Christ? because that is the healing that you are most desperately in need of this morning. If not, today is that day to come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing? If you are, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you this morning, I will be clean. And we shall. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to see so much more than just a miracle of cleansing. We need to see the miracle of our cleansing in Christ, that our hearts are as polluted as this man's skin was, and that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made well and made whole. And Lord, what a wonderful, joyous, good news that is to us if we really understand our sinful and desperate situation. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is within the sound of my voice this morning, that they would understand and look for that cleansing, look for that healing, which is only found in you. And Lord, we are so thankful that you have compassion and mercy to cleanse such sinners like us. Lord, it is in that good news, it is in that cleansing and that healing that we rejoice this morning. For we pray it in his name. Amen.